Welcome back to the Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. Today's poem is by George Herbert, and it's called The Church Floor. I'll read it once, offer a few comments, and then read it one more time. The Church Floor. Mark you the floor? That square and speckled stone which looks so firm and strong is patience. The other black and grave, wherewith each one is checkered all along, humility. The gentle rising, which on either hand leads to the choir above, is confidence. But the sweet cement, which in one sure band ties the whole frame, is love and charity. Hither sometimes sin steals and stains the marble neat, curious veins. But all is cleansed when the marble weeps. Sometimes death, puffing at the door, blows all the dust about the floor. But while he thinks to spoil the room, he sweeps. Blessed be the architect, whose art could build so strong in a weak heart. George Herbert is often classed among the metaphysical poets like John Donne, one of his contemporaries. They're both writing at the height of their powers in the late 1500s, early 1600s, not unlike William Shakespeare. It was truly a watershed moment in the history of English poetical letters. Nevertheless, George Herbert is sometimes not quite ranked with those other poetic giants of the period. And I think it's because of his vocational orientation in his poetry. Maybe that's the best way to say it. He was a working priest and in the Church of England and had a reputation for being very attentive to the care of both the body and soul of his parishioners. He was not first a pastor. First, he was a priest, and he cared for the holy things of God. You could often find him in the church, attending to the sacramental duties of the priesthood. But if you went to the church and did not find him, it was because he was about his pastoral work, taking the sacraments to those in his parish who were too ill to come to church and receive them, and at the same time delivering clothes to the needy or food to the hungry. So he was an all-around excellent priest by all accounts. And I think that explains sometimes the didactic nature of his poetry, which can be off-putting to some readers, especially because it usually comes in the form of an overt allegory, like in today's poem. The poem comes from his collection of English poems. He also wrote in other languages, including Latin. But his English poetry is collected as The Temple. And in it, there are a number of esoteric poems with titles like The Sacrifice, The Thanksgiving, or Grieve Not the Holy Spirit. But then there are others that are very concrete in what they attend to. Things like architectural features or furniture of the church, which is the window, the altar, or in today's case, the church floor. And sometimes those are the most effective poems, in my opinion, because they do give us something concrete to start from, to latch onto before lifting off into allegory. So he points to what would have been a very typical feature in English churches of the period, this sort of alternating checkerboard floor with white marble stones and dark stones alternating. So he points to the light and says, see that there? Those stones, well, they represent patience. And these other ones, the dark ones, they represent humility. Though he doesn't say represent. Maybe this is his sacramental sensibilities at work. He says they are those things. These are patience. These are humility. There would have been flanking choir lofts on either side of the main space in the church, the nave, so that the choir could sit in two places and sing alternatingly or antiphonally back and forth over or across the rest of the worshipers. And then the thing that ties all of these virtues together, love or charity, the cement that really gives the building its sturdy foundation. And though, yes, you could sort of say you've read through this and you got the allegory. Yeah, the stones are humility and patience, and that's good. Okay. There is, I think, a psychological insight here, or a spiritual insight that's very subtle and rather remarkable, especially in a time when kind of militant theology of total depravity was on the rise. Herbert here offers a remarkable alternative take. If, as we see in the final line of the poem, these features of the church architecture are allegorically also features of the heart of man, both built by God, he says, the heart primarily, or more directly, not built by, the heart more primarily constructed by God, the church building, in an indirect way, subcreated by men, made in God's image, then to say that the lowest point is still a virtue is remarkable, that you can fall so far and yet not fall beyond some kind of potentially saving grace or virtue, that spatially speaking, you go down, 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 and the point at which you stop, because you can't fall through the floor, is the point of humility and patience, that though you can ascend, just like the choir loft rising, confidence ascends, though you can ascend to greater virtues, you cannot fall below humility and patience. In fact, if sin or death were to steal in or blow in and knock one down, bring one to his knees, or down prostrate upon his face, he would not be brought down to the status of a worm and no man. He would not be brought down to a pile of filthy rags. He would be brought down to humility. And humility is still part of the warp and woof of this church structure that is held together by love and charity. That is to say, you can't fall past a certain inherent virtue. In fact, there's a kind of inherent virtue that God, the architect, has placed there at the lowest point to meet you and catch you should you fall. That's a remarkably optimistic reading of the human heart by George Herbert. Here's the church floor one more time. Mark you the floor? That square and speckled stone, which looks so firm and strong, is patience. The other, black and grave, where with each one is checkered all along, humility. The gentle rising, which on either hand leads to the choir above, is confidence. But the sweet cement, which in one sure band ties the whole frame, is love and charity. Hither, sometimes, sin steals and stains the marble's neat and curious veins, but all is cleansed when the marble weeps. Sometimes death, puffing at the door, blows all the dust about the floor. But while he thinks to spoil the room, he sweeps. Blessed be the architect whose art could build so strong in a weak heart. This has been the Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another poem for you. You can listen to past episodes or support the show by visiting dailypoempod.substack.com. For everyone at Goldberry Studios, I'm Sean Johnson. Until next time, happy reading.